Okay, how many people are ready for the word? Okay, before we have... Yes, yes, I see that hand.
I got a little word this morning just as we were worshipping. It's about prayer. God hears every word, every prayer. Even things you can't pray when your heart is so burdened, God hears. Pastor David spoke about the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And I looked at that passage and I found the guy who got the word of the Lord. His name was Jehaziel, which means God hears. So I just wanted to bring that out. God hears every murmur, every cry, everything that you can't even express, he hears.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Well, today it's Mother's Day, as we know, and we've got a wonderful mother in the house who's going to bring the word today. Anna Marie, could you put your hands together? Wonderful speaker, friend of mine, and I think she's a pretty cool lady. Come on, put your hands together again as she comes to bring the word.
Good morning. And it is to your mothers that we're so thankful for today. I know it's glib, but if not for your mother, you wouldn't be here. And we are so thankful that you are here today, that you are a part of our church family and our community. And for those spiritual mothers who with kind hearts, hello, Greenie, with kind hearts, that they take others under their wings and love on them and show them and lead them and model them how to do life with Jesus and through Jesus. We're so thankful for spiritual mums as well. Praise God. I'm enjoying my little garden. Who's into gardening? I think as you get older too. Daniel's not shaking his head. He's shaking his head. Let's remember this in 20 years. I'm such a novice though, but I am trying to grow some veggies for my family to eat and some flowers for the bees. The bees need the flowers. My daughter is also having a go at gardening and we share ideas and information with each other. I was very excited recently when I moved aside some mulch and I found some worms in the soil. I was rapt because I didn't put them there. It was in a raised garden bed that was initially, it was built up by layers. There were pebbles, then cardboard, branches and leaves, then a veggie mix that I'd brought in by the trailer load. And I certainly never saw any worms in that mix. So I was rapt, excited, doing something right. So I got my phone out and I took a photo of these worms and I said to my daughter, I hit send, I have got worms. And I was so excited. I hit about 8 exclamation marks and I hit send. And then she comes back with, oh, crikey. And then the next message comes through very quickly. Oh, I didn't see the picture at first. And my initial thoughts were, oh, Mum, you poor thing. Clear lines of communication and context are so important. But I am loving my garden. I've had some successes and quite a few failures, but come on, it's how we learn sometimes. I'm learning so much, not only about gardening, but also I'm learning spiritual lessons too. There is a very real connection between the Bible and our natural world. A mere 11 verses into the Bible is the perfect example of what I mean. Genesis 1, verse 11 says, "Then God said, 'Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds.' And it was so." Time and again throughout the Bible, we read about seeds, weeds, stony soil, dirt, fruit, herbs, grains, reaping, sowing, harvest, watering crops, seasons. You're getting the gist. There's so much more. Olive trees, fig trees, herbs. There's so many references to our natural world. In the second chapter of the Bible, we read the first mention of a garden. An obvious one, of course. Chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he made." Various types of gardens are mentioned over 60 times in the Bible, and some gardens were in fact sites of extremely significant events. Jesus was betrayed in a garden. John 18:3 says, "So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees." John 19:41 says, "At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid." In the next chapter, it talks about Mary Magdalene going to the garden and seeing that the stone had been rolled away. The tomb was empty. And as she turned to leave, she saw somebody there. She didn't recognize it was Jesus. She thought it was the gardener or the keeper of the gardens. John 15:1 says, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." And what a wonderful gardener Father God is. He is the ultimate gardener after all, isn't he? He is the creator of heaven and earth. He knows all about things growing and being built. He knows what he's doing. Part of what he is doing as well is to help us to understand spiritual principles, spiritual truths, by using experiences and word pictures and language in our everyday natural world that we can relate to. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 say, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him." For most people, the moment they accepted Jesus or received Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour is a treasured memory. Can we agree? Amen. This is often the culmination of hearing the good news about Jesus more than once. Perhaps faithful friends planted lots of seeds of truth in your life that took time to grow. That's how it was for me. My dad was the hire and fire man at the company that I worked for. I remember him coming home one day and saying, "Well, I've just hired a young fella who's coming to start a church in the area." And I didn't think much of that because I went to church anyway. My job was the storeman and the forklift driver for the company I worked for, and I moved all across the two sites of the company, so I had nothing to do with this guy. Until a couple of weeks later, I somehow managed to injure my back, and my boss said, "So you can work with that guy until you can get back on the forklift." And who was he talking about? Oh, I wish it was David, but no, it wasn't David just yet, but it was a very faithful young pastor who was new to the area. This very faithful guy, he was so faithful to tell me about Jesus. Every day he would bring the conversation around to Jesus Christ, what Jesus had done on the cross for me, why I needed my sins to be forgiven, even though my church never really mentioned that. But God began to open my eyes. It took a while, but I came to the place where I knew I needed to respond to what I was learning, to what I was hearing. I knew differently now, and so I received Jesus Christ as my Saviour. To know once and for all that my sins had been forgiven, because Jesus lay upon the cross and took my place, that by his blood my sins were washed away, was and is an incredible feeling. To realise that God loves us so much, he made a way for us through his only son, Jesus, that when we die, he will not judge us, but that he will welcome us into heaven. To live with him for eternity is indescribable. To have that deep peace at last is wonderful. And when we do finally come to Jesus, when we get our head screwed on a bit and get our heart right, we may think it is the end of the journey, that we've arrived, I'm forgiven, life is good, but this is only the beginning. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." We're new creations. We are born again and God has a plan for us. And Paul wrote, "Now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." This is the meeting point of continuing to follow Jesus so we can do the good things God has planned for us since long ago. This is where we need to begin fully following, willfully following Jesus Christ. We must hold on to why we got saved, what we know now and believe to be the truth about what we learned about Christ. We know differently now. When we come up against some opposition as new believers, and it might be sincere, well-meaning family members, and that was a biggie for me, we must continue to follow Jesus. When the ex appears on your doorstep batting their eyelids, even though they were the one who dumped you, we must continue to follow Jesus. And that was a big one for my husband. Though it might be a huge challenge at times, we need to keep walking on the path Jesus has before us, to do things his way, to choose his will over our will and make him the focus of our life. And can I add in, God honours it when you keep walking his way, when you are faced with a challenge and you make that right choice. He honours that. I have a beaute relationship with my family now. I really do. God just healed everything. And as for David saying goodbye to the ex, do I have to state the obvious? But hasn't he done well? I'm so sorry. That's just God. But that's God. That's honestly, God's way is so good. 35 years strong next year. Hallelujah. Amen. Father God wants us to grow and mature and produce fruit and do the good things he planned for us long ago, wherever and whatever he says. And even if it doesn't make sense, and we won't always understand immediately at times, but we must continue to follow Jesus. In verse 7, Paul says, "Let your roots grow down into him." And here is one of those gardening word pictures that Father God is using to help us understand what he means. A definition of root, that part of a plant which enters and fixes itself in the earth and serves to support the plant in an erect position while by means of its fibrils it absorbs nutrition for the stem, branches and fruit. Another definition is a part of the body of a plant that develops typically from the primary root and grows downward into the soil, anchoring the plant and absorbing nutrients and moisture. Again, root, to implant or establish deeply. The roots of a tree or a plant are essential to their growth. They are the foundation. If roots are strong, then they will provide the tree or plant with everything needed to flourish. And they'll thrive and bear fruit by drawing the nutrients and the water out of the soil that they're planted in. Strong roots also keep the tree or the plant firmly in place when the wind or weather threatens to overwhelm it. As the roots grow down into the soil, the tree can grow up and up and up. Our spiritual roots are essential to growing and thriving and being fruitful as Christians. We need to become established in, fixed in, connected, anchored in Christ Jesus as our foundation, to hold tight to him and his teachings, to stand firm and grounded in him. Being rooted in Jesus and relying on him will make our faith strong, and when challenges come to us, because they will. We will be able, however, to remain strong because of the solid foundation that has developed. To our new believers here, to quote Paul, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him. How can you let your roots grow down into him? Well, here's just a couple of starting points for you. I want to encourage you to spend time in prayer every day. Start praying. Yeah. Start by simply talking to God as if he is right there in front of you. Indeed, pull a chair up. Sit there with him as if he's there. Talk to him. You may like to write out your prayers. Some are writers. You're a good typist? Type out your prayer. Focus on him. Talk with him. Amen. Confess your sins to him. Yeah. Tell him how you messed up. Tell him or ask him, help me to avoid repeating that scenario next time. Ask him to forgive you for your sins. Tell him what's going on in your life, your cares, your concerns for your kids, your family, your health. Speak to him. What's weighing you down? Yeah. He knows all of this, he does, but he delights in his children coming to him, sharing their hearts, spending time with him, and your roots will grow down into him. Reading the Bible is so important as well. The Bible really is the instruction manual for life. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture, not some, but all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. We need that. Yeah. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. This is scary but true. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Holds that mirror up to our face that we can't deny what we see. Begin studying your Bible. Pastor David or the Connect group leaders would love to guide you in ways to dig a bit deeper into the Word of God. We all need physical food to eat or we will die. We as Christians, we also need to eat spiritual food or we will die. In Matthew 4, Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy 8:3. He's quoting it to Satan when Satan's come during Jesus' temptation. He's trying to tempt Jesus. If you're the Son of God, then turn these rocks into loaves of bread to feed yourself, because, of course, Jesus was without food at that stage. But Jesus said in Matthew 4, no, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Where will you find every word that comes from the mouth of God? Yep, in the Bible. We need to regularly be taking the word in. Reading it aloud is fantastic. Read it aloud to your kids. Read it aloud to your other half. Read it aloud. Let your brain is seeing what your eyes are seeing. Your eyes are reading it. Your mouth is speaking it. And it's just reinforcing it layer upon layer. Your ears are hearing it. And that helps it to settle into your spirit. Memorize it. If you have to memorize a verse a week, you'd have memorized a lot more verses at the end of this year then if you didn't. Just saying. Meditate on it. Chew on it. As you're going through the day, roll that verse around your head. Roll it around your head. By doing these things, your roots, our roots, will grow down into Christ and we will come to know Jesus, who is the Word of God, and we'll receive directions and hope for every need and every season of our life. Dr. Howard G. Hendricks was amongst many things. He was a preacher and a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. And he said this, God wants to communicate with you in the 21st century. He wrote his message in a book. He asks you to come and study that book for three compelling reasons. It's essential for growth. It's essential for maturity. It's essential for equipping you, training you, so that you might be an available, clean, sharp instrument in his hands to accomplish his purposes. And Dr. Hendricks goes on to say, so the real question confronting you now is, how can you afford not to be in God's word? Letting our roots grow down into Jesus and building our lives on him doesn't happen overnight, and neither does it happen by chance or good luck. Yeah. It is a choice and something that Father God desires for you, and he is so willing to help you and meet you where you are at every day. Perhaps you're thinking, how can I fit reading my Bible and praying into my day? I'd love to, but my circumstances, my situation. But upon first reading Paul's verses in Colossae, my mind immediately moved to the humble Roma tomato plant growing in another raised garden bed around the side of the house. And this is where it dawned on me that God was showing me something, trying to get my attention, except he wasn't talking about tomatoes. He was speaking to me. And I think he is wanting to speak to some folks here today. With regards to tomato seedlings, if you ask the Googles and type in top 10 tomato growing tips, one of the tips you'll find is they recommend digging a trench out from the roots and laying the young stem down and planting it sideways. You bend it gently up. You might need to cut or pinch off a couple of lower leaves or branches and then cover the stem with soil up to the first set of leaves. This sounds drastic, but tomatoes can grow roots all along their stem and will become a much stronger and fruitful plant. So I wonder if our seedlings here today, the young plants in our church family, would allow the tender and loving Master Gardener to dig a trench out from your roots, gently lay you down, and snip off maybe those first 10 minutes of the day that you spend on Facebook. Or perhaps that time that you spend because you hit the snooze button two or three times in the morning. You might snip off that. Grab your Bible instead. Talk to God instead. Or maybe snip off an episode of that TV program that you watch before you fall asleep at night. Would you allow a work to be done in you that no one can see, but you alone will know, and in your obedience know that you are letting your roots grow down into Jesus, just as the scripture tells you to do. The practice of laying tomato plants down isn't just for seedlings or young ones, but older, established plants, repositioned this way, will begin to grow more roots along the stem as well. They'll become stronger, less affected by what is going on around them, and produce more fruit. Older plants, not just young seedlings. I know this because this is what I did with my Roma tomato. It wasn't a seedling when I brought it. The stem was very long and spindly. The roots were scrunched up in a small container, and the leaves weren't healthy at all because of a lack of water and nutrients and a lack of sunlight due to being overcrowded with the other plants around it. It had stayed in that pot way too long, much longer than intended. I bought it home in a box with my other purchases, and I remember actually coiling the stem around and just pushing it down into the box. It was that long and spindly. When paying, the lady behind the counter said, I don't mean to be presumptuous about your gardening knowledge. And I said, stop, I know nothing, tell me everything. She laughed and she said, well, because it is so leggy, I recommend you dig a trench out from the roots, lay the stem down, and you know where I'm going. So I did, and I'm so thankful I had the good sense to trust the advice of someone much wiser than I, because my Roma tomato plant is amazing. It has flourished. It really has. I removed some of its branches and leaves and I buried it. When it was laying down, it didn't take long for the top of the plant to turn towards the sun and then start growing erect again. Unless you'd seen it beforehand, you wouldn't have known that it had been through quite a drastic challenge. And it currently has these beautiful handfuls of tomatoes. They're so rich and red and such a full flavour. Now, not only did the roots grow down from the stem, but they've actually grown up. There are full-on tomato plants that have come from that same area of the stem that I buried, and they have got tomatoes on them as well. This older tomato plant has finally come into the healthy, mature and abundant fruitful life it was always meant to. And here we are today. I believe Father God, the Master Gardener, is wanting to reposition some of his children, not just the young believers or those who have recently come to Christ, but also those that have been saved, those that have been Christians for a long time. Are you too leggy? Has life stretched you too thin? Perhaps you stopped regularly drinking in the living water. Are you starved for time with the Son of God, and the cares and busyness of this world have kept your life distracted and overcrowded? Paul was writing to the church members in Colossae at a time when there were other voices speaking, different teachings circulating, and he didn't want the believers to be confused or turn away from Christ. Challenges and attacks are obvious, but distractions are not. Busyness sneaks in, looking really legitimate, and soon begins to consume more of our time, our energy. The enemy is subtle. I'm not talking about in-your-face sin here, but do you remember your first love? That zeal, that joy that carried you through every challenge, every sacrifice you gladly made for his glory? The solution's the same. You may need to pinch off it, a TV show or two, a hobby, or whatever is necessary to open time and space to pray, read your Bible, listen to what God is saying. God is reminding you he's not done with you. His plan for you hasn't been completed. Yeah. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." There are still good things God has for you to do. Paul wrote, "Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him." Not just this day, not just this week, this month, this year, but the length of your days. He's reminding us that this is for life. It's time to get your sword out again. Dust it off, sharpen it, reacquainting yourself with it. You know how to lead. You know how to fight in warfare, how to train, how to mentor. God wants to use that. And Father God, the Master Gardener, wants you to bear fruit again. Why? It's to see more souls saved. It's to further his kingdom here on earth. It's to strike at the enemy's camp again. It's for his glory. Cooperate with God. Allow him to reposition you so that your roots may grow down deeper into him again. This is an exciting time upon the earth. You have much within you that the Lord desires to bring out of you for the benefit of his body. Paul is saying, don't forget why you became a believer. Don't let go of the truths you embraced. Or perhaps your roots are too shallow because you never actually let them grow down into Jesus in the first place. It's time. It's time now. I believe Father God is dealing with some brothers and sisters to let go of that small pot you've been holding onto for a long time. Yes, it's safe and familiar, but are you fulfilling the call of God upon your life? Pastor Bethwyn's niece and the niece's husband, do you remember the Lord? Wow, he didn't just lay them down and reposition them. He transplanted them in another country. Please hear me. I don't believe God is wanting to uproot everyone. You really need to hear very clearly from God if he is saying that and seek confirmation of your pastor and leaders. But he hasn't changed his mind about the call upon your life. Is it time to trust God once more? Is it time to allow him to dig a trench beside you, gently snip a few leaves off? Maybe remove a couple of branches that have seen you put in a lot of energy heading off in a direction where you just shouldn't be. Let him tenderly lay you down. Let him do a work in you. It is time to let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Am I saying that you need to do more? Will it make me more saved? Will it make God happier with me? No, absolutely not. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than he already does. And your salvation was completed on the cross when Jesus died and took your place. God offered us salvation as a gift. It's something we can't buy. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I got my Roma plant because it was cheap and it's flourishing. God's free gift to you of eternal life cost him the life of his only son, Jesus. Imagine how you might flourish. Imagine what fruit may come from you. Father God, the great gardener, is wanting you to yield to him that through you he may increase his yield. Amen.